You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I would have had snow probably into that week if I hadn't gone out there. Couldn't stand to see it no more. We'd had a big snow. Then we'd had a freezing rain. And that rain froze about almost 6 inches, I'd even say a foot, of pure ice. It was just that thick. And that stuff just would not melt. I'm telling you, I got this big old spud. I don't know if you guys ain't got things down like that, but you might call them a cement breaker or something like that. But it's we ice fish, you know, and so we have a spud. You have to spud through the ice. A lot of people use augers nowadays. Some even got gasoline augers, but we just had a plain old rod with a blade on it, you know, and you just made a hole. So I took my spud out there. I took a week chopping that. Just I could only get in about 6 inches. It was like a rock, chipping rock. And I go as far as I could go into it. Then I'd let the sun melt off a little bit more underneath it. I'd go to the next. It took me a week to get rid of that. So everybody say praise God for winter. But praise God it's gone. Amen. So we understand there's a winter in all of our lives, but thank God today Jesus says, you know, that spring will come. Can you say amen? Yeah. He gives us promise, covenant promise concerning that whole thing as the seasons change. We know that God has best for us. Can we say amen? Yeah. We thank God today that he is our Lord, and because of that, no matter what we face in life, we know that in him we can come through it, and we thank God today that We are overcomers. I read it in the back of my book. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, them that did not live their life unto death. In other words, it kept focus. One of my key scriptures here today is out of Hebrews 10, verse 35. Just to paraphrase it a little bit, not to get into it too far, I'll teach the whole teaching that I did on that topic. But cast not away your confidence. Everybody say confidence. I think in the day and age that we live here today, that even the elite of God, we see having things happen, unusual. We think like people like Terry Mize. All we know Terry Mize. Yeah. I don't know of anybody of a man of God that stood in the face of evil and have stood against things, have raised babies up to heaven and called down the power of God to bring healing to that. And his wife, simple operation. You know, some of these hip operation, knee operations, rotator cuff operations, people are going into them not even praying hardly because they're just so common anymore that they just think, well, we can just get through it. Well, Terry had her operation doing fine, died in her chair that night. Yeah. Yeah. You know, unusual things happening here today. Now, how many of you believe old Terry might have had a moment of thinking there? How many of you believe? You know, sometimes we hear a faith message and we think the people giving the message never has a battle. You know what I'm saying? That they just reach. You know, that was my old Baptist doctrine. They used to teach us, well, just come to Jesus and you won't have any more problems. Well, I'd always had problems. I guess I just wasn't aware of them. I drugged myself up so much I wasn't aware of them. But when I got sobered up and got Jesus in my heart, I became aware of these things. Amen. And I realized there's a battle going on, and I was the turf. See, we have so less esteem of ourselves that we forget that we're God's cherished turf, and that our heart is his planting field. And God's still creating his creation inside of us, and he created a beautiful garden that the devil's trying to pervert. Amen. And so sometimes we get into these crazy flesh things, and we get all under condemnation and guilt of them. You know, it's just nothing more than the devil trying to come in there and mess up the garden again. Because, see, our soil has no conscience. You know, the same soil that saw all the beautiful things in the garden, after the curse came upon the earth, it also sowed, what? Thistles. Yeah. So we realized Jesus started giving us parables concerning our heart and things like that. Pastor was touching on it this morning in Bible still. Give him a good hand clap. He did a great job letting us know that. How many of you were in Bible school this morning? Or Bible class, I should say. Class, school, whatever. If you learned something, say amen. Okay, and so we see that there's a battle going on in our hearts, a turf. And we realize you can't walk in this earth today without having some bad seeds try to get in there. Yeah. Amen. Signpost. Just, you know, I used to watch the Weather Channel. We all watch the Weather Channel in Michigan, you know, make sure it's, you know, before we go out what we're going to wear. Because, well, yeah, you know, in Michigan, you can go out in the morning and be warm, and by the time you get home tonight, you need a coat. It can drop 40 degrees that quick. Wow. Just little teeny rain, bam, you got cold. You know, so anyways, they call it the Great Lake Effect. Okay, so demonic. No. But we see that, what was I talking about? Got off on that. But, battles, you know, and so we see that we need to hold true to the Word of God. Amen. But anyways, I was watching a Weather Channel. The Weather Channel is coming on, and there's a front coming in from the west. Always comes in from the west, or the weather guy goes, or it comes up from the south. You know, and moisture comes up from the south, and they two mix around, and your brain's just got into neutral. It's just sitting there. All of a sudden, it changes to a different map, and it says now the flu is in Chicago. And it's coming up, and this cold weather is coming in. And now, if you sneeze, go get yourself some Tylenol, or you know what I'm saying, some kind of medication. And it's just like, you know, you don't think that got inside of you. Well, the next day you sneeze. What do you think you're going to be doing? Running off and getting you some Tylenol or something, you know what I'm saying? We don't realize how subtle some of these things are, you know. How many of you know today, you don't probably have any hunger for certain things until somebody mentioned. We're on a trip, and I've been trying to cut off the chocolate and the sweets all my life and this and that. Brenda started talking about how much she loved Hershey chocolate bars. That thing got inside of me. We got to Jerry Savelle, and they put a bag of chocolate-covered peanuts. I ate that whole stupid bag. The problem is, I ate half of it in one setting. I'll tell you what, I wasn't feeling too good by that. Now, I couldn't even eat. They put on this beautiful banquet. I was reading the book, see? Just snacking a little bit, one at a time, two at a time, then a whole handful at a time, you know what I'm saying? In the bag. I get to the banquet. I am so messed up, man. I couldn't eat the salad. I ate a little bit of the chicken. I felt so guilty. All right. Everybody say there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But anyways, everybody say soil. We are soil. So the Lord, give me a little message here. I want to share it with you. It's a joy to my heart. And a matter of fact, is the young lady here that had that acoustic? Where's she at? Where's the guitar player? Oh, she's up. Well, then, can I have permission from the pastor to get that, to play it? Okay, all right. I have something in mind. My wife tried to talk me to bring my banjo in, but they count that thing now as a piece of luggage. Yeah. I can't carry it on anymore. I used to be able to carry it on, put it in the overhead. Now it's a piece of luggage, and I'm thinking, suit, banjo. Suit one. So turn with me to Matthew 28. We're going to get into it. I titled this Rejoice. What did I say out of Hebrews? Cast not away your confidence. If you read the whole thing, it said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Amen. Everybody say, receive the promise. How many of you receive all the promises of God, or yea and amen in Christ Jesus? Yeah. But how many of you know between the hearing it and the receiving it, there's this battlefield? Yeah. Everybody say, the turf is my heart.
The turf is my heart.
And a lot of things can come and go in your life, and it's just like water off a duck's back. But there's other things that you hear it, and it gets inside of you. And if you noticed, what you really truly believe and like in life is what you talk about. You know, and I watch myself like with motorcycles. I love motorcycles, and I love the hunting thing. But, you know, I don't want little deer on my tombstone. I don't want little motorcycles on my tombstones. I don't want somebody to say, he sure would love this or love that. I want to make sure they say he loved Jesus on my tombstone, if I even have one. I would just, you know, not give the guy the money down at the corner and have Jody spread my stuff out in Jolt's Lake or something. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, we got to watch what's going on in our heart. We got to watch that. You know, I don't want any other thing. Even with the fellowship that we've had, great fellowship, you know. Well, you can get just where you're all fellowshipping, playing, and carrying on all the time.
Yeah.
That isn't exactly what God had in mind for us. Although that's part of the picture, as Pastor Mike clearly put out in his teaching today. A lot of things are involved, but there's nothing more involved in loving God and loving our brother as ourselves. That's they call it the royal law. It's the supreme law. It's the law. When you have a supreme law, you have a supreme court. You have they rule over all the other courts. So you have all these laws, the Ten Commandments. Jesus simplified. I love that. I'm a simple person. I need a simple gospel. And I have simple truths in my mind that I hold into my heart. And that is, Jesus simplified all the law in this one thing. I can handle one thing at a time. I'm a man. I can't double task too awful good. So I have to have one thing. Love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as yourself, which brings up a question then. How do I love myself? How am I thinking about old Jerry these days? So I'm out there running around doing stupid stuff. Guess what's going to happen? I'm not going to think well of me. And if I don't think well of me, guess what? I'm not going to think of you. If I judge me, what am I going to be doing to you? I'm going to be treating you as I treat myself. I'm going to treat you just as much as I trust myself. That's about how much I'll trust you. And so we thank God today. The royal law absorbs all the commandments and brings them under one thing, and that's the law of love. And we thank God today. And the second thing, if I never had a Bible, all I have to know is Jesus. Listen to me. Jesus is the extent. No, they didn't need the Bible in the days of Jesus because they had Jesus. Okay? They didn't get to read the New Testament and say, okay, the New Testament fulfilled the law of the Old Testament. And so, no, they didn't have any of that, but they had Jesus. Now, we don't have Jesus, but now we have his word. Okay? But we can't separate the word from him because he is the word. 1 John, or John chapter 1. You know? And so we realize that Jesus is, so if I'm going to simplify my life from confusions and all this stuff, just see, look at Jesus, get in the New Testament, and he is God.
Yes.
And no man cometh to the Father but by me or through me. No man knows God except by me. And so he is the exact image of God. So you can be confusing to try to match up Old Testament, New Testament, blah, 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 all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, simplify it real good. You know, old Marine code, simplify. Yours is not to question why. Yours is just to do or die. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't there, thank God, but I did. I was in special forces with them, and so those guys are crazy. You know, you hang with them, you get crazy too. Praise God. I'm going all over the place. Praise God. But that's some kind of things in my heart that I just share with you. How do we survive in today's life? As Christians, everything about us are being challenged. You got teachers on every corner. You got end times teachings. You got this. You got red moons, blue moons, pink moons, and no moons. You know what I'm saying? You got post, pre, and never going to happen. You got all this stuff, and they're all good teachers. But you know, I found in Thessalonians, he said in the latter day, we'll be running after that junk. You know, he said women have tickling ears. I know a lot of guys got tickling ears. They're running here and there. He said, if they said Jesus over here, Jesus over there, he said, don't go there. You know, we have a whole running. I know people that are so into running after Jesus in these places, they don't have money to pay their house payments. You know, and so we got to kind of, you know, God kind of had what he was saying together. You know, gather yourselves together. Support your local community. Get involved in what you're doing. You know, our turf, our church logo is across the street and around the world. You know, we have just as much obligation to across the street as we do around the world.
Amen.
You know,
that's good.
You know, a lot of people think, well, their hometown is their Jerusalem. You know, no, wait a minute. We are the world. I have been to Jerusalem. This isn't it. You know, that's Jerusalem. This is the uttermost parts, you know. And when I'm up in the Arctic, I can't see it, or I'm not there, but I can see it from where I'm at or something like that, they say. Matthew 8:21. This is a little bit right close to the Easter time, and so it's a little rainy in my heart yet. It says, on the Sabbath, after the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended. That's Matthew 28, verse 1. There's many other recordings of that, but this reading out of Matthew today. Verse 3, his countenance was like lightning, and his clothes was white as snow. And the guards shook in fear of him. I've heard many messages on that topic alone. And became like dead men. But the angel answered and said unto the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. And he's not here. And he is risen. And he said, and come and see the place where the Lord lay. So quickly they go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. And behold, I have told you. So they went quickly from the tomb in fear, with fear and great joy, and ran to bring the disciples word. And they went to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. And I just stopped right there. And I just thinking, rejoice. You know, I think the antidote for most of our problems today is to get into some rejoicing. Amen. And I love, because when Jerry, and that's what kicked me back into this message, because Jerry Savelle talked about, in this year, 2014, rejoicing. He didn't say use the word rejoicing, but he said that we should be thankful from the things God had done in our life. You know, and that's very scriptural. It talks about bringing ourselves in remembrance of the things that God has done for us. And we're to be joyful and to be thankful. You know, and we have to be careful. Again, the market of today is constantly tagging us that we need something. You want a pretty face? You got to buy this product. You got to have more hair? You can buy that product. If you want to be big king on the block, then get yourself a new car. You know, I mean, it's always creating that what you have is never good enough. You know, and that's really the devil's lie that he did way back there in the garden. What did he say to Eve? The devil said to Eve. He said, if you eat of this fruit, you'd be smart as God. Well, guess what? They already were. He was trying to say you don't have something that God has that you need. But if you eat the fruit, oh, yeah, well, she ate the fruit, right? Adam was stupid enough to tell her to stop playing with the fruit and put it down. He just ate of that. You know, men have been cowards ever since. The women, you should give me a hand clap on that one. Come on, yeah, everybody's, the guys got pretty quiet on that one. But, you know, now coward is not what we think coward is. Cowardness, the true definition of cowardness is to think forward, see us fail, and then shrink back. When you shrink back, that's cowardice. Adam knew the word of the Lord, but his wife gave him of the fruit, and he cowarded. You know, like with me, when I get into some kind of verbal conversation with my wife, I normally cower down because I know she can out-talk me, out-think me, and somehow I'm going to end up wrong no matter if I was right at the beginning. And so I kind of back off that a little bit. How many of you guys think what I'm talking about? Now, I don't try to win an argument with a woman. That's all there is to it. Now, I have a simple doctrine. I'd rather be happy than right, so I don't argue anymore. Amen? And so in my heart, I know I'm right. Okay? But I might not say it out my mouth. Philippians 4:4, and that's why I wanted this banjo. Back in there, 1978, my daughter, my little lover, my little baby. Yep, that's still a D and a D. You know, my little daughter, my first daughter, we had gotten married. We had a honeymoon baby. And 9 months later, our little joy, Tina, came into our life. And she is a joy to me. And but I wasn't ready for fatherhood. I wasn't ready for much for anything in those days except for me and what made me pleasurable. And so I missed so much of her childhood. I didn't get to know Tina until I had an old football injury that laid me up, had operation, and my wife had to go to work, Jody had to go to work, and so I had to watch Tina, and so she was at about 6 months, 7 months old at that time. So I missed the infancy. I never changed the diaper and did those kind of things because I was a man, you know what I'm saying? And wrong thinking. And anyway, so I missed so much. So when I got saved, 1974, we started talking almost 13 years later from when we had our first child. We talked Jody into having another baby, you know, and Tina got on my side. And so we talked and talked. We finally talked her into it. So we started planning another child into our life. And oh, man, when she was born, I was going to recapture all that I had missed. You know, and at 5 months old, the devil tried to kill her. And that's what changed my life. I had gotten saved in 1974. By 1978, I was already religious. You know, I learned things the wrong way. I didn't know the promises of God. And I was just about as bad that direction as I was the other direction. And but you know, when life is on the border, you're looking for help. You know, that's a simple truth I have today. I won't argue with anybody about the gospel. I just won't do it. I look for people that need help. That's why I go there. I'm jail chaplain. I've been working prison ministries for ever since I've been in the ministry, even a little bit before that. And so I've been doing that for over 30 some odd years. And I just look for people who are help. You can tell the difference that want help and the difference already got a religious spirit. I won't spend any time with them. So, well, if you're happy with what you got, praise God. You know, go in peace, you know. But don't try to talk me out of what I got because you can't do it. Amen. I've seen God's power. I've seen his power working in the lives. And this song, in the middle of it, you know, the devil come to another attack on her life. And this is what this was a little was. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. I don't know how to do it anymore. I play banjo, all right? So I thought I could do it here. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. I'll just sing it. Come on, sing it with me today. This is an old tune that probably everybody in this place knows this song. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Come on, rejoice with me today, would you please? Amen. Rejoice. Rejoice that God is not a liar. Rejoice that he has sent his son into our life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We've got to fight the good fight of faith. We in America have got a little bit on the lazy side on this thing. You know, we were just talking, I forget what we were talking about a little bit there, but we were saying, you know, so what was that? Something about if things go so good. Was it Israel we're talking about? Things were going so good for them, and then... Yep. And then the next thing you know, trouble comes. And we're talking about, he was talking about the field and planting and all that stuff. I come from planting people in southern, matter of fact, I come from the south, you know, southern Michigan. And, but they're farming people in that community, you know. And so I come from farming background and lovely people of the earth. And, you know, they not one of my family, even though they might not have gone to college, you know, every one of them knew that if you didn't plant a seed, it wouldn't grow, you know. And they had enough sense to go and not dig up their seed. And they had enough sense to know when it came right that to go out. I can remember my grandfather, this is true, I can remember my grandfather actually go out in the field, and I used to watch him, and he'd stick his finger in the soil. He'd fail around there for a while. And then he'd taste a little bit of it. Okay, it's time to sow. He knew that there had to be a certain amount of heat in the ground. I forget, was you or somebody else talked about that? You know, Jerry Savelle. But I was like, my brain was just going back into days old. And, you know, he would taste to see if the acidity of the soil was right, because there had to be a certain amount of that there. And you know, you never heat, you're never going to plant until you know the frost is out of the ground and that the rainy season is coming, because you need to water something. You can't just let it be without water. Pastor Mike got a tree out there in his backyard, you know, and I was thinking about that. It took how many years for that thing to die? 3 years?
About 3 years, yeah.
Yeah, because it got lazy. It let its roots go out this way instead of going deep. And that's why I started thinking along this stuff. I'm thinking, you know, well, you know, in America, we've gotten a little lazy because things got easy, and our roots have not gotten too deep. So we got to have deep roots. You know, I love Texas. I tell you, I'm not just cheeking you here. I'm not trying to butter you up or anything. But because of the attitude that I see in this state, if I didn't know that I know that I know that God planted me where I was at, I'd be living down here. That's right. I come down here to get refreshed. I come down here because there's a good positive attitude in the bigger part of the state. And I come down here to see that God's hand's not slack. He's a bountiful God. Sometimes we can get caught in our little circle, in our little thing. You know, causes my heart to be so hurt to see older people in their senior years get caught into their homes, and their world becomes so small they can't think big thoughts anymore. And they start giving it up, giving it up, giving it up, giving it up until they. And I understand that we're all going to get older at some. I'm not turned 70 this last year, and I'm working on 71. And I like people. I meet people in their 80s that are still going strong for Jesus. I think you're my new hero. You know, I'm saying I want to be that kind of a person. Talked about another guy, you know, retiring. You know, whatever that word is and whatever that means to people. I understand there's time to retire maybe. But I'll tell you what, I don't see that in the Bible for me. You know, I have a doctrine that I'm going to live by for the rest of my life, and I'm just going to live until I die. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so I'm just going to keep on keeping on. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, well, rejoice. You know, that's found about 43 times in the Bible, rejoice. You know, it's nothing. There's nothing that can replace some rejoicing to have a joyful heart. And I used to look at some senior pastors that I knew in the particular denomination I was in, and they got older, and they got sour, and they got hard, you know, and they were grouchy, you know. And I'm going, what's wrong with them people? Well, you know what? I found out that life can get you that way. You know what I'm saying? You got to fight for the right to be joyful. You can't just wait for everything to be right to be joyful. Right. For the joy of the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ endured the cross because he looked beyond the cross. Yeah. See, we got to look beyond the situation that we're living in to the other side. And the other side is always on the other side of the cross. Can you say? All the promises of God have been fulfilled in Christ Jesus as he went to the cross. We so celebrated that just coming on. So we realize, rejoice in the Lord. First and foremost, on the grounds that Jesus had victory over the Satan, we can rejoice that we have a legal right. Everybody say legal right. A legal right to accept Jesus as our personal Savior and to enter into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have a legal right. You know, hell can't keep that from happening. You know, when you're going out and talking to your family or neighbors and whatever, you need to realize that you have a legal right to present them the documents of their freedom. You know, a lot of people begin to say, you know, wait a minute. Now, we have a constitution in this country. And that constitution tells us of our rights. And we're getting tired of you interpreting our rights. Okay? Now, if we can get our back up for that, how much more could we get our back up to our real enemy? Because Jesus says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. How much more can I go into my prayer closet and say, wait a minute, devil. You're trying to read me my rights? Right, here's my rights. See, I found it in the Word of God that by His stripes, I am healed. My loved ones are healed. And we're going to thank God today. We're going to shout it from the tops of the roofs. Can you say amen? Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For by one man's offense, death reigned through the one, and much more those who receive abundance. I'm kind of giggling there because Pastor Mike was talking about that very thing. For one by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Christ Jesus. Now, there's doctrines going around today that we don't need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. That oneness means that Jesus died for one, so all are saved. Well, yes, we are legally by document. As also our constitution, this country, we got a document that says we're free. But unless we're going to stick up for it, we won't be free. Can you say amen? Amen. Unless you know it, you don't know what you're free until you know. You know, it's one thing about that. A lot of times you think, well, I only know what I know. That sounds so simple or almost stupid. But yet, no, wait a minute. You don't know anything more than you know. A lot of times people are trying to talk like they know something when they don't know nothing. You know what I'm saying? Poor me stuff, they just don't know. That's how I disconnect from getting offended a lot of times. I just say, well, they just don't know. Say, I only know what I know. But bless God when I know it, I know it. Amen. I wasn't the smartest guy on the block, but bless God when I finally learned something, I learned it. And, you know, that's how I got through Bible school. I had dyslexia, didn't know it until I actually got into Bible school. But how I passed every test, I memorized. Trouble is memorized, you don't really retain it too awful well, you know what I'm saying? But I memorized, that's how I got through. I just had to memorize everything. Everybody else could just read it and do it. You know, I had to memorize it. So I memorized tests, and I had a smart wife. See, so it means that I'm not so dumb after all, because I found a key in life is if you're bad mathematics, get an accountant.
That's right.
If you can't spell, find somebody that can. You know what I'm saying? That's why I like technology. Spell house. Little voice comes out of your phone. H-O-M-E. Cool. All right. You know what I'm saying? I picked an easy one. I couldn't even pronounce the one I can't spell. All right. So everybody say the abundance of grace.
Abundance of grace.
There's an abundance of grace for them that call upon him. Now, we say that for salvation, but what happens when the checkbook gets empty? Are we still applying the same principle? And if we're not, then apparently you don't have confidence. Something has shaken your confidence. And you know what I have found out? Over time, the drip, drip, drip of this old world. Anybody had a long-term healing? Or sickness or something like that. Man, I'll tell you what, when I came back from Africa, they told me, you know, it's normal to ask, you know, well, what's my recovery rate? I had everything under the sun you could catch in Africa at one time. I caught it, almost died there. Came back here, went into a state of kidney shock, went into a coma, and woke up and asked a doctor, well, how long am I going to be like this? My body all locked up, couldn't move. And the doctor said, well, 2 to 3 years or never. You don't like listening to that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know what? I was standing for the time. I had a short-term stand, but yet I found out that drip, drip, drip in your life sometimes can wear you down. Can wear you down. I know some people's gotten wore down. They tried businesses. They went bankrupt. But then you get the testimony like we heard this weekend where some of the most famous people went bankrupt 3-4 times before they ever made it. Let not your confidence be shaken, friends. God knows you. He knows where we're at. And don't ever give. Our pastor, John Osteen, would tell us, you never lose until you give up.
Yeah, that's it.
And that stuck inside of me. not to give up. Have I had opportunities? Of course I have. Have I wanted to at times? Yes, I certainly have. You know what I mean? And so we come through these times, but we can't let our confidence. And this is just about confidence. It's about the antidote for confidence. I want to build you up a little bit. I got some real quickies here today, and we want to move on real quick here and not hold you up any longer. But I just got to share some of the things. I want to tell you some of your rights. Okay, we have a right to rejoice because we've been blessed by every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the Lord God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, rejoice. Going to help me preach a little bit today? Come on, breakout. Let's have a breakout here today. Come out of your closet, you know, for rejoicing stuff, you know. You know, the world tries to steal every doggone thing there is, any words, any things. They'll use it for their little nasty stuff, and then you can't ever use those words again. You know what they're trying to do? Shut you up. They don't want you to stand up. They don't want you to think. They want you to say, we'll do all the thinking for you. We'll develop your vocabulary. You know, we'll form your thinking and how you should think about things and how you should say some things. I have never been politically right, probably never will be, don't want to be. You know, I want to be Bible right. Yeah. Can you say amen? Amen? So everybody say, blessed.
Blessed.
With every. Now, I'm not an English scholar. I'm not trying to pretend that I am, but I do know one thing. Everything means everything. If it means everything, gosh, I guess it means everything. That's an all-inclusive word, isn't it? It means it's everything. It's kind of like an all. You either got all or you don't have all. You can't have all and no in part all at the same time. You got to have, if you have everything, then you have everything. So no matter what you're going through, what I'm going through today, I'm going through some things. I got family things going on. I got this and that. I have a building. I don't have a big one like he has, but I got a building that I'm building, you know, and it's stalled out. We had a $120,000 grant that we're kicking off a building program on. You know what? American Airlines went bankrupt. It's been hung up in court ever since. That will stall your building program. I'll tell you what. And we're just fighting that thing. We have that. We won't give up on it. We're holding on to it because I found out everything is blessed in my life. God withholds no good thing from me. Amen? So everybody say, I have a right to rejoice because all spiritual blessings are mine. Amen. Praise God today. I have a right to rejoice because we cannot be separated from the love of God. Woo! Praise God. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Read ahead on your own time. I haven't got time to get into all of it. I tell you, nothing will separate. I can't even separate me unless I quit. And I have no intentions of quitting. Amen?
Amen.
Have I made mistakes? Yes. Have you made mistakes? Very likely if you're human. You know, any non-human people here? So that means that all we made mistakes. Amen. Back here. But that's because he's Robo Boy. You know, what do they call that?
Bionic,
yeah. What is it?
The bionic.
Bionic, all right. Yeah, he's got the, he's only half human. We have a legal right to rejoice in all Jesus accomplished. I just wrote a few of them. He accomplished eternal life for us. Can you shout amen? He has a victory over Satan, sickness, demons, and fear. My God, I have a reason to rejoice when things like are all hell breaking loose. Just start rejoicing. What's rejoicing mean? It just means we're giving God credit that he's God, not the devil, not this world, not our government. You know, we can rejoice because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We can rejoice. I have a home in heaven. Praise God today. We don't go into emptiness. We don't go into the abyss. We just don't become an atom again, float around in the earth with no thinking, no thoughts. I found from my Bible that they were very intact in heaven. Can you say amen? Matter of fact, those loved ones that have left us this last year, guess what? They've gathered together in heaven as a great host that's cheering us on. Can you say amen? Wow, so I can rejoice about heaven. I can rejoice to use the name of Jesus in prayer. At that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I can rejoice because I'm not left as an orphan in this earth. I'm not serving an empty gospel. I'm not serving some religion. I have no authority. And I have all authority in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? My Father cares and protects me. Listen to me. I wouldn't get on a plane if I didn't believe that. I certainly wouldn't drive in San Antonio or the Austin. Is it Austin we came through? Yeah, Austin or any of these towns. They're crazy. Traffic going every which way? Mm-mm. No, we have protection. Can you say amen? The sun, a place, we have sonship. We have a place as sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. I have a place. Everybody say, I have a place.
I have a place.
You know, it's a sad time when you lose your identity. I lost my identity one time. I didn't know who I was. I was in wholesale grocery sales in those days, and I just became everybody's person. You want a party friend? You got a partier. If you want a family man, I was a family man. I was whatever you needed, but in the midst of all that, I lost my identity. I didn't know who I was.
Sure.
Then I found myself, February 10th, 1974. I found in the Bible what was recorded about me. Oh, brother, I remember when I heard Brother Osteen say those things. Holy Bible.
Yeah.
You know? Psalms 139, we're talking to the kids, one of our favorite. She was asking us, what's your favorite scripture? Psalms 139, verse 14, for I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. I have to challenge myself yet to this day to look in the mirror, look beyond my natural, look beyond my intellect, look beyond what I have, look what's going out beyond what I have, and say, I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. And I can make it in this world.
Amen.
Amen. I can make it. I can outlast the devil. Because I found it in the book. There's going to be a day that he's going to be thrown into fire. And it's going to be settled once and for all. You know, I plan on being right there. I'll hold the lid for you, Jesus. Shut him up. I'll be laughing. When you think we'd be rejoicing? You think you'd be sitting around quiet in heaven? Uh-uh. Well, you might as well get prepared for it. Get to rejoicing now. I found out you can shout the devil down. You can shout him down.
Amen.
Amen. You can convince yourself that you're more than a conqueror. It's one thing reading it in the book. It's another thing convincing yourself in it. Amen. You got to believe it. Number 7, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Wow. I can remember August of 1978, sitting in that park. They had just told us our daughter was dead. Sitting in that park. And wouldn't you have to know the devil had the gall to turn that thing over on me? It was because of me, because of my life, because of my life I led before I got saved, and all this stuff had come upon me. And all of a sudden, it was a revelation. Oh, I was just like, it was an amazing thing. I sat there, and all of a sudden I said, well, now wait just a minute. Anybody ever talk to the devil? I talk to the devil, I talk to God, I talk to anybody or anything. You know, and I said, just a minute here. You know, I've never been the problem. I always yielded to the problem. See, the devil, now I think I'm speaking to somebody right now. That's almost a prophetic thing I'm saying right here. You've always thought you were the problem. I got good news for you today. Something to deliver you. You never was the problem. You just yielded to the problem. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Say, that day, truth came to me, a revelation that Jerry wasn't the problem. He just yielded to the problem. I had a problem maker in my life that I never knew about. And when he took a step just too far. When he laid that thing on my daughter, it's the first thing I ever fought for in my life. That little baby I was telling you about. The thing that made my heart glow. I wasn't slanderous to my wife or anything, but I didn't glow for her like that. No human being on the face of the earth did I glow like that with. That was my child. And the devil killed her. Well, we'd been sneaking around reading Brother Hagin's material. God's medicine. I couldn't find nobody to go up there and anoint her in oil. So I just finally said, I come through this revelation. Wait a minute. I'm not the problem. I'm not the problem. I'm the solution. We went and got some oil, went up there, anointed her with oil. Within, well, it had to have been 10 hours, her eyes opened up. They had on a ventilator. We didn't know it at the time. They were keeping her alive, what they thought was alive, to get her organs.
Yeah.
And they were getting all the people that was going to get the organs lined up with her and blood types and all this stuff. It took them that many hours to get that stuff all together. They wanted us to unplug her. I said, I can't do it, sir. They said, sir, you need to face reality. I said, sirs, I don't want to be disrespectful, but your reality is not my reality.
Yeah.
Your reality is based upon the experience that you have, and I honor that. But my reality is now based on the Word of God. And this says she'll live and not die. Now, they threw in their psychiatrist. They went in and had child care come into us, all those things to almost batter us into making that decision. We wouldn't do it. And before they could get done with all their stuff, little Tara decided to wake up. I got something to rejoice about. Amen? Come on. If you haven't got anything to rejoice about, you're not saved today. If you haven't got anything to rejoice about, you've never experienced something happen in your life. We need to bring our remembrance into power moments. I see Jerry Savelle gave Mike a power moment of that meeting. That we try to do that in our conference. We always give out something for our missionaries, our friends to take home so they can remember this moment to remember back upon and say, that was a power moment in my life. Man, when I take that baby out of that hospital, that was a power moment in my life. Devil came in. We were young. We didn't know the fight. We thought we'd won the fight. They came back in there and overdosed her on purpose, as far as I'm concerned. But I love them. We're not in anger. We're not mean. But we know out of their ignorance, they thought they were doing us a favor by killing her. They overdosed her with phenobarb. But she's a tough cookie and overcame that too. And she lived with us, and we had the joy of her for 25 years. We served her. But I know what it means to have something that you've believed for with all your might, seeing the power of God, and then have that thing stretched over 25 years. I tell you what, it'll work on you.
Yeah.
Don't try to tell me life don't try to work on you. But I got news for you today. Would you bow your heads with me? I got more, but I feel we need to close on that point. I might not be talking church, but I'm talking life. I might not have four pretty PowerPoints for you, but I'm talking about life. I'm talking about living through some things. I'm not talking about learning something in a book or about what some other body did. I'm talking about what I did, what I seen, and what I want you to do.
Yeah.
Why? This isn't even my church. I want your life to be happy and full of joy. And I know the Bible says we can go from victory to victory in Christ Jesus. And that God wants to take you, and God wants to make you a tough warrior. Now, he's not sending the junk. He's not causing the junk, because in this world's the junk. But we're in this world, but I found it in my Bible. He tells us to rejoice, for he has overcome the world. And because he's overcome it, he can make you an overcomer. I pray for this young girl's having to go through the shunts in her ears. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command her ears to be unplugged and the drainage to be proper, Father, that she might hear and be even in music or something. She's going to have a keen ear. Well, that's just a prophetic statement right there, Father. She's going to have a keen ear for music, Father, and the things that people would say she could never do, she's going to go on and show them in some kind of a way that she has a beautiful ear for that, because you're the healer. How many agree with that today? Father, I thank you today. You healed the deaf ear. How much more can you hear a little problem with drainage? Father, we thank you today. Anybody else got a problem? I'm not going to call you up here. I'm not going to lay hands up on you. I just want to join with you in prayer. Anybody have some situation? It could be life. It could be a challenge in your life. Maybe a fear situation in your life. Maybe you're one of those shut-ins I was talking about, or you're this or that. You got family members that's not saved, and you got situations today, and you're feeling like you're just holding on. Father, I thank you today. I pray for those here today. Father, you're not calling us just to hold on. You called us to overcome. Father, I thank you today that we speak the word of life over them, Father, that they shall live and not fail, Father. I thank you today they're blessed going in, blessing out, Father. I thank you the document of our covenant, that we are a blessed people, Father. I thank you that everything we put our hand to prospers, Father. And I thank you today that we are children of the Most High God. And Father, we can rejoice in many different things concerning the word of God in our life, but we are overcomers. We have an inheritance in this earth that was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you today. We are the victorious ones. Father, I thank you today, Father, that this wonderful church prospers. Father, I pray for this community, Father, in this state to stand strong in their beliefs. Father, we thank you today for this country. Lord, we thank you for men and women of office, of integrity, Lord, that are full of courage to stand against the tide of the times and speak truth, not political agendas. Father, we thank you today, Father, that whoever these new people will be, old things have passed away, all things become new. Father, we thank you we have a victorious country. Lord, I'm not ready to give this country up. I'm not ready to speak evil of it. Father, I thank you today. They will hear the truth. And Lord, I thank you today there's godly people. Father, I thank you today. I no longer call Christianity the silent majority. Father, I thank you today we are the majority. And Father, I thank you today we don't trust in flesh and blood, but Father, I thank you supernatural corruption is exposed. Father, that the word of God goes forth and that we have godly leaders in high places. Father, we thank you today for it in Jesus' precious name. And Father, I thank you today we speak to this congregation, leaders of the community that have come up out of this congregation. Father, that they'll lead this community in local and maybe even state area and represent the people in a godly way. Father, we thank you today in this church, them that have served and are serving in those capacities. Father, we thank you for them and our armed services and law enforcement. Father, we pray for them for their service. And Lord, we thank you today for our salvation in Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you today we will live eternally with the Father. We rejoice. We thank you for it. Amen. And amen.